Beyond the lowest bid, understanding true value in contractor selection. You're standing over three competitive estimates, and the lowest one stares back like an irresistible shortcut. Pause. The cheapest number on a line item sheet is seductive precisely because it feels decisive. But in renovation and construction, price is rarely the whole story. The real cost of hiring a contractor shows up later, in warranties that go unhonored, corners cut where you can't see them, delays that cascade into extra nights in a hotel, and the slow erosion of trust that turns every follow-up into a fresh battle. Here's why the lowest bid often costs more, how to evaluate a contractor beyond the bottom line, and a practical way to choose a partner who adds value now and for years to come. Why the lowest bid is often an illusion. A low bid can mean several things. Occasionally, it's a lean, efficient operation with low overhead. More often, it signals that the scope is incomplete, the allowances are optimistic, or real costs like permits, insurance, and proper waste disposal haven't been fully accounted for. An analysis published by ISYSCM on the illusion of savings argues that lowest bid selection tends to raise risk rather than lower cost, with quality problems, hidden expenses, and weak accountability among the common consequences. A contractor who underprices a job may lean on cheaper materials, less experienced labor, or subcontractors swapped in midway through. When defects surface, the initial savings vanish under the cost of repairs, lost workdays, and stress. Partner ESI's Beware the Low Bid puts it plainly. A low bid frequently signals hidden risk and long-term complications that outweigh whatever you saved at signing. The hidden cost most New Yorkers don't see until they sell. There's one risk that deserves its own line, because in New York it can cost you tens of thousands of dollars years after the dust settles. Unpermitted work. A contractor whose low number depends on skipping permits is effectively borrowing against your future sale. Any work that legally requires a permit, relocating plumbing, electrical work, removing or moving walls, leaves a paper trail when it's done correctly and a conspicuous gap when it isn't. Those records are public. When you eventually sell, the buyer's attorney and title company run the apartment through the Department of Buildings public databases, BIS and DOB Now, where open permits, missing sign-offs, and work that doesn't match the approved plans show up as violations or unresolved filings. The consequences are concrete. Unpermitted work can stall or kill a closing, force you to legalize the renovation after the fact through as-built filings and fines, sometimes require reopening finished walls to satisfy an inspector, or simply knock down your sale price while the buyer factors in the cleanup. A bid that looks cheap today can quietly become the most expensive line item in a future transaction. What true value really means and how to spot it isn't the lowest number on an estimate. It's the net benefit you're left with after the project is finished and still working well. Look for a clear, complete scope. A good contractor itemizes what is and isn't included and flags likely unknowns, such as asbestos or structural surprises, rather than burying them. Documented credentials. Licensing, insurance, and local compliance demonstrate competence and limit your legal exposure. Verify all of it before you sign. References and repeat clients. Call recent clients. Did the contractor hold the schedule? Were there disputes? How were warranty claims handled? Patterns tell you more than any single review. Warranties and service commitments. A written warranty that spells out coverage, time frame, and claims process is worth its weight. Understand how manufacturer, contractor, and design-build warranties differ. Communication and transparency. Define milestones, regular updates, and an accessible point of contact. Save time and friction. A realistic timeline with contingency. A sensible schedule builds in buffer time and a contingency budget for the unforeseen. Read the warranty fine print and know why it matters. Construction warranties come in a few forms: materials and vendor warranties, workmanship or callback warranties, and broader design build guarantees, in which a single entity owns the result. Knowing which warranty applies to which part of your project is essential, especially in multi-trade work, where finger-pointing is the default when something fails. Procore's overview of construction warranty types underscores the same point consumer guidance does. Save your warranty documents, scrutinize what's excluded, and get every promise in writing. A verbal assurance won't hold up the way a signed warranty will when a subfloor or system fails 6 months in. General contractor or managing your own trades. There are two common ways to run a project. The first is to hire a general contractor who manages all trades, coordinates scheduling, pulls permits, and gives you a single contractual relationship. The upside is one point of responsibility, smoother permitting, and generally better scheduling. The trade-off is the GC's margin and the fact that you still need to vet their subcontractors. Angie's overview notes that a GC saves time and stress, but typically costs more. The second is to act as your own project manager and hire each trade directly. The upside is potential savings and direct control. The downside is a heavy coordination burden, more scheduling conflicts, and no single party accountable when something goes wrong. As most industry guides caution, the savings from self-management tend to evaporate once you account for the time and expertise it actually demands. A useful rule of thumb: for complex multi-trade renovations, heavily regulated place like Manhattan, an integrated GC or design-build model usually delivers better net value, even when the headline price is higher. How to compare candidates before you choose one. This is the vetting stage, before any contract exists, where you're sizing up the people in front of you, not yet the paperwork. Compare like for like. Make sure every bid covers the same scope and specs: materials, fixtures, demolition, permit pulls, temporary protections. A bid that looks lower because it quietly covers less isn't actually lower. Visit recent job sites where possible. A finished project or one in progress tells you more about cleanliness and care than any portfolio photo. Talk to references directly, not just read reviews. Ask about delays, disputes, and how warranty claims were actually handled once the crew was gone. Gauge responsiveness during the bidding process itself. How a contractor communicates while courting your business is usually the best version of how they'll communicate once they have it. Watch for red flags in the pitch: a vague scope, evasiveness about licensing, reluctance to provide references, or a bid far below the market should slow you down, not speed you up. Notice how they handle your questions about permits and your building. A contractor who already understands board approval and DOB filings is showing you real local experience before you've paid for any of it. Negotiation tactics that preserve value: prioritize scope over price. Negotiate where it makes sense, on fixtures, finishes, allowances, but don't let scope quietly shrink without accounting for the added risk. Use allowances carefully. An allowance buys flexibility, but keep it conservative enough that upgrades don't blindside you. Tie payments to milestones. Hold back a final amount for punch list completion and post-occupancy fixes. Include a defect correction clause. Spell out the timing and remedies if work later fails inspection. The long game: why relationships matter. The best projects rarely happen in isolation. Contractors who understand your building, your lifestyle, and your tolerance for disruption become advisors, not just vendors. Repeat business and referrals reward that. Firms that build long-term reputations are far less likely to gamble with quality for a short-term margin. In high-complexity markets, integrated teams that handle design, permitting, and construction together can smooth the friction points that fragmented low bids create, so the rendering you approved is the home you actually move into. Choose value, not just price. If you want to save money over the long run, think like an investor. Weigh durability, maintenance cost, and post-completion service, not just the initial outlay. The lowest bid buys you a headline number. It rarely buys peace of mind. Weigh credentials, references, a transparent scope, a realistic schedule, and a solid warranty together, and the bid that offers real value starts to stand out on its own. If you're planning a renovation that has to deliver both aesthetic refinement and airtight execution, especially in a complex urban environment, it's worth talking to teams who live at the intersection of design and construction. They'll help turn a vision into a reliable plan, and a reliable plan into a home that lasts. Sources and further reading: Beware the Low Bid, Partner ESI, The Illusion of Savings, Why Choosing the Lowest Bidder Increases Risks, ISYSCM, How to Hire a Reliable and Trustworthy General Contractor, Better Business Bureau. Construction Warranty Types: What are contractors responsible for? Procore, Pros and Cons of Hiring a General Contractor, Engi. Once I've chosen a contractor, what does the written contract itself need to spell out? This is a different question from how you pick the contractor. It's about what protects you on paper once the choice is made. Before signing, confirm that the document itself, not just the conversation, covers each of the following: scope of work, a precise description of every task included, an explicit note of what is not included, who handles demolition, installation, cleanup, and disposal. Materials and specifications. Exact materials and finishes, brand, model, grade, color. Allowances for anything not yet selected. Rules governing substitutions. Timeline and milestones. Start date and projected completion date. Major project phases and their expected duration, how delays and schedule changes will be handled. Payment schedule, payments tied to project milestones rather than arbitrary dates. A clear policy for change orders and additional costs. Workmanship, installation and finishing standards, warranty length and coverage, responsibility for defects or corrective work. Permits and inspections, who files and pays for permits, how inspection issues or required revisions will be managed. If any of these items is vague or missing from the document itself, ask for it to be added before you sign. A good verbal answer during the interview doesn't count once the contract is on the table. Beyond price, what should I consider to get true value from a contractor? Price is only one input. Value comes from reliability, quality, expertise, and durability, not the lowest number on a proposal. When comparing contractors, consider the following. Experience with your building type, NYC co-op, condo, pre-war, or historic building. Consistency and quality of past work. Licenses, insurance, and specialized certifications. Reputation and client reviews. Clear and responsive communication. Transparency on pricing and materials. Ability to manage permits, board approvals, and DOB filings. Reliable timelines and project management systems. Cleanliness and protection practices on the job site. Warranty coverage and aftercare terms. It's worth keeping the stakes in view. A low price can cost far more over time if it leads to delays, rework, code violations, or finishes that don't hold up. The contractor who delivers high-quality work, a predictable process, and lasting results is almost always the better value, even when their estimate isn't the cheapest in the pile.